What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Inside the 1 a.m. hour on The Fan in New York, April 18th. Keith McPherson on The Fan, and it's Good Friday. It's crazy. As we proceed, you know, you got to love baseball in New York. You got to love the dynamic when both teams are good. This is what we should want. You got to love when both teams have star players, when both teams have depth. It keeps everyone locked in and engaged. It's just so much better than one side being dominant and the other. Like, it's New York. It's the mecca of baseball. It's the capital of baseball. They've got the MLB offices here, which are pristine. I was in them not too long ago. I actually got to follow back up with my people at MLB now that we're deep into the season, right? Juan Soto's already terrible, and we're not deep into the season at all. But what I'm saying is, you know, the MLB team store is here. There are two teams here with large fan bases. You know, speaking of that, Mets fans, I mean, as much as so many have already proclaimed the Mets to be big bro, you know, I was looking for one thing tonight at Citi Field. Not booze. I didn't think there was really going to be any booze. Juan Soto doesn't deserve to be booed yet. But I was looking at that attendance. 38,246. It's not cutting it. Not cutting it. It's good for your own standards and probably it'll get you somewhere around the top 10 or 15 in baseball if you keep it up. But, I mean, the Yankees just had a home stand where they put 42, 43, 43, 5 the last three games against the Royals. I mean, it is what it is. It goes back to what I was saying. You know, there's a semi-viral video of me talking about the Yankees don't need a five-borough race. The Yankees don't need a dance crew. They don't need all these gimmicks because the brand is built. The pinstripes, the tradition of winning and excellence is there. Like, people are going to come out. I'm just messing with y'all. Good showing at Citi Field tonight. A lot of fans out there to see the Mets win. I don't expect them to draw like the Yankees draw. Brandon Nimmo hoodie jersey night. Hoodie Soto. Yeah, anyway. 888-808-1019. It's good to win. We have two first place teams with 12 wins. That's going to be the next thing too, right? Every other night it's going to be, right? Because somebody's going to drop off. And when you look across baseball, like 12 wins puts you in first place in the AL Central. The Tigers are there with 11. The AL West, the Texas Rangers are there 12-7 in first place. The Chicago Cubs have 12 wins, 9 losses because they played 2 extra games. They're in first place in the Central. 12 wins in the NL West puts you in fourth place. The Dodgers The Padres, the Dodgers, and the San Francisco Giants are ahead of the Diamondbacks, who are a good team. They have 12 wins. San Francisco has 13, LA has 14, and the Padres have 15. So that's a gauntlet right there. There are four beasts in that division. The Mets have to keep pace and have to keep winning because, you know, one, you should be gunning for your division, but two, if you're not able to get a wild card, like the West is going to have the wild cards, we think, but nobody knows. It's so early in the season. We're just at, like, I don't know, 12% of the way, but it has been fun so far. Let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Everything is on the table from the Met game, the Yankee game, and then obviously the Giants draft. It's looking like Abdul Carter could be a reality, but I think some of the Giants brass and people in there are saying it's been too long. Daniel Jones is not here. This regime has not drafted a quarterback, and it doesn't mean that has to be Shedeur Sanders. There's also a scenario where Shedeur Sanders drops, and maybe they could trade up from 34 and give a pick next year. Who knows? Who knows? Shane's got to get crafty here. They do need a quarterback of the future. But you can't pass on generational talents, and they're tagging Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter as those generational talents at the top of the draft. Nobody's going to complain about Abdul Carter, especially if he comes here and he looks like he's looked. So back to the phones we go, talking about the Yankees, talking about the Giants, and in a couple minutes we will cue up the audio from Aaron Rodgers, and I'll give you my opinion on that. Zach is in New Rochelle on the Fan. What's up, Zach?
I'm doing great, man. I hope you're doing well. I hope the baby's doing well, too.
Yes, sleeping like a baby. He's been asleep since like 7:30, 8 o'clock.
That's how we like it. Hopefully he doesn't wake you up tonight.
Nah, my wife and my son wake me up around 7 a.m. I go to sleep like 3:30. I wake up at 7 a.m. If I got to help, I got to help. I get up, do what I got to do, and then I go back to sleep, and then I get back up by 10. I've been doing it now for 2 years.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I know it's a little too early in the season to talk about this, but I think you would agree for the Yankees, it's World Series or bust this year.
I think you can agree with that. And win it. Cannot lose back-to-back World Series. We won't ever live it down.
Exactly. So I just want to get your opinion. Do you put the Mets, I know you're a little biased because you're a Yankees fan, but do you put the Mets in the same conversation as the Yankees?
No. No, like, I don't know. What do you mean? What's the conversation? Do I put them in the same conversation as far as their chances to get to the World Series and win it? No.
No.
Because they have a much tougher road.
I'm saying, would it be a disappointment if they can't ultimately win the World Series this year?
If the Mets win the World Series, will it be a disappointment? No, it'd be a huge celebration in this city.
No, meaning if they would lose. And say if they wouldn't be able to win the World Series, would it be?
No, if the Mets get back to the World Series, that's an accomplishment. I think the bar for the Mets is get back to the NLCS because that's where they were last year, and they stripped away some important pieces last year, and it seems like they've kind of still figured it out without some of those guys so far. No. And I mean, as much as we as Yankee fans are spoiled and people want to say, oh, they embarrassed themselves in the World Series and Judge dropped the pop-up in the fifth inning. Man, I enjoyed the hell out of last season more than the season prior to, and I got to go to the World Series games. I got to live that experience. Like, going to the World Series, like, if you're a Seattle Mariners fan, you don't know what that's like. Dave Sims got on with me, and I was like, yeah, we lost the World Series. He stopped me dead in my tracks. The World Series? Like, what are you, like, you won the American League, you got to the Fall Classic, and because you lost it in five games, you're minimizing, like, it wasn't an accomplishment? It was. But we just, as Yankee fans, we know it's like you said, championship or bust, and they got to get back there this year in this American League. I believe they can. I'm not going to say that the Mets can't, but as I was just going through the National League West, like, those four teams in the National League West are going to be super tough, and we'll see. What the Mets look like when they start to, and I'm not knocking their competition that they beat because it's early on the season, anybody can beat anybody, but like they beat the Marlins, the A's, they just lost to the Twins, they're playing the Cardinals right now. Like, we'll see what the Mets look like when they do face their own division and some teams that were good last year and have some better players.
Okay, let's say the Yankees take the Dodgers to game 7 in the World Series and eventually lose. that's a disappointment on a season or not?
No, no. I'll remember for the rest of my life that we went to back-to-back World Series. It will hurt like hell. I'll say that this last World Series, it took weeks to get over. And losing back-to-back World Series, especially if it's to the Dodgers, and then the Dodgers are the first team to go back-to-back since the Yankees, like there's generations of Yankees fans that would just be a permanent hole in our hearts. It would be pain. But nah, man, it's about the journey, not always the destination. It's about the ride, the roller coaster ride. It's not about, you know, where it ends. It's you know, day by day going on. Like, I'm having fun. I love this team right now, and this team does not have it all figured out, but like, they just won 4 games in a row, and I like the style of play and the hitting and how it's a deeper team, and obviously they have the best player in the game, but anybody can get active and help them win. And I'm really hoping that they do get back to the World Series, whether it's the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks or the Phillies or maybe the Mets waiting for them. I said last year the Yankees origin story started, like, if their next championship, if it's this year, that origin story started in the World Series in the 5th inning when they collapsed like that, when they were 1 foot in the air thinking they were going back to Cali and they didn't get to get on that flight. Like, a lot of those guys had to learn from that. And I feel like Judge really took that hard. And he didn't come out and have a slow April, and he's having the best start to his career because, man, this had to be the hardest offseason for him, knowing that he failed at that level. Mm-hmm. And you know, you got to lose to know how to win, man. Those experiences are what make you. Sports is like life. Like, when you lose in life or you struggle in life and you have hard times, you come out on the other end better for it. And that's my real hope with this team.
I appreciate the time, Keith. You keep rolling, and thanks very much for the call.
You got it. 888-808-1019. And, you know, for the Mets, right? And I'm not a Mets fan, but I'm a baseball fan. And that's something that people don't get either. Like, oh, how much are you going to talk about Juan Soto? A lot. Every single day. Because I'm watching him. I'm going to talk about Mark Vientos and Lindor and Brett Beatty. I'll sing the praises of a Griffin Canning because I'm a baseball fan. I'm a radio host in New York City. I'm watching these guys play. And for the Mets, if I was a Met fan and we signed the generational talent that is Juan Soto for all of this money, who was the third place MVP vote getter in the American League, and we know what this guy is, and right now we're in first place, a game up with 12 wins winning, and he does not look like himself, I'm sitting back like, just give it time. There's gonna come a time when it all starts to click. And Soto is postseason proven. The Mets are winning games right now. Win enough games so that you can get that monster into the postseason tournament, and then he'll show himself. Slow heartbeat. The postseason games do not affect Juan Soto. He's going to hit. So if I'm a Met fan right now, I'm looking at things like a Griffin Canning. I'm looking at things like, okay, Brett Beatty, he's waking up. You know, Brett Beatty was looking like the whipping boy, quadruple A, not beating the allegations that he's a minor league player. He's starting to come out of it. Okay, Vientos, homer, good. Lindor back home, 3 knocks, great. Bullpen solid. Like, I was looking at this Mets game tonight, and I'm like, okay, In the past, watching the Mets, and like, I didn't grow up watching the Mets, but I've watched them in these last couple years, and, you know, historically, that lead wouldn't have been safe. It would be a different vibe and feeling with 4 runs scored in the 2nd inning and not being able to manufacture any more runs with Griffin Canning on the mound. It'd be like, how long is Canning going to go, and when is his bullpen going to implode? And they did not. So I think the conversation around Soto has to slowly die down. And I know the tabloids aren't going to help that. I know we're not going to help it here at WFAN. It's morning now, but when you hear the morning show and all the shows after that, they're definitely going to talk about Juan Soto still struggling. Juan Soto going over. Juan Soto striking out, grounding out. Not, you know, like, what's up with this guy? But what I'm saying is, the bright side of all of this is the Mets team. They are winning. They're in first place. And arguably the best player on the team, which Alonso should get that nod. But like, Lindor was runner-up in the MVP voting last year, and he is going to turn it on at some point once it gets warmer. Juan Soto is the highest-paid player on the team. He's struggling, but he's not going to struggle forever. So when it all does start to click, they're going to rip off 5-6 wins in a row. They're going to beat some top team. Like, I would I'd buckle in for the long haul, and I wouldn't sweat the small stuff about Juan Soto not coming through right now. He's not going anywhere. He's a Met for the next few years. 888-808-1019. All right, let's queue up some of the Rodgers stuff. I'm going to take one call, and I'm going to let Fleegs queue up the conversation from Aaron Rodgers, and then we'll play what he had to say in each clip. We'll play, and I'll react to it, and then we'll take calls on it. Jeff is down in Louisiana on the Fan. Before we go to the Jets, let's talk Giants.
Oh, hey, Keith. I've been wanting to ask you this question, but I was thinking, well, maybe it would sound kind of odd, so I've been hesitant. But what it is I want your opinion on whether there are some similarities and differences between Eli Manning and Shedeur Sanders. I'll tell you why I say that. Sanders has a real good command of the defense. So did Eli, to the point of almost being a coach on the field, offensive coordinator on the field. Eli, I don't think, had that strong an arm. Sanders reportedly doesn't. Eli was capable of rising to the occasion. So is Sanders. Eli didn't run. You know, he was not a Daniel Jones or, a sprinter. Neither is Sanders. But Eli could move around a little bit in the pocket. So could Sanders. So can Sanders. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I thought you were going to point to the fact that, like, both of their dads, and even, like, Eli, his brother, you know, like, having to live in the shadow of the success that your dad and brother had and being able to rise to the occasion, I think that's a huge parallel with Shedeur. And there was a lot of people saying that Dion was going to pull Eli Arch Manning thing, where obviously they manufactured him going to New York and not going to San Diego. You know, a lot of conversation I've heard recently, I think C-Mac has mentioned it on his show, about how, like, Eli wasn't the best physical athlete, like you said, wasn't the most fleet of foot, but was accurate and could read a defense and was tough. That's what they say about Shedeur. He's tough as nails. And I've seen the kid get blown up. I've seen the kid take hits and get his offensive line sucked these last 2 years. He was getting his head taken off. He got his legs blown out from under him. He kept getting up. There was the one viral moment where he shoved the ref because it was clearly unnecessary roughness. It was roughing the passer. And he just, he keeps ticking. So I think he's tough like Eli. I think he's accurate like Eli. I won't say that either of them don't have a strong arm. They both have NFL caliber arms. They have the pedigree of their father's playing in the league. And I think that means something, right? I think when you grow up around, like, your dad played NFL football, so you've been in locker rooms, you've been in stadiums, you've been around other players, like, you've come up in the culture, it's not too big for you. New York is not too big for you. Having money is not too big for you. Being a star is not too big for you. You've always been under a microscope. You know, you've always had it. Those things are good things to have. Those are good qualities to have. I don't know. I think Shedeur Sanders would be fine in New York. And there was a long time that I was saying, this is it. They got to get this kid. He's already rich. It's not going to be too big for him. But then once they signed two quarterbacks that started and won games in the NFL last year, I'm like, now it doesn't make any sense to put this kid as a third string quarterback on this team that needs to urgently win.
Oh, you're right. I missed the most obvious similarity of all, the pedigree. Just like you said.
Yeah, the last name.
Yes. I don't think it's ill-advised to have him as a third-string quarterback, because Russell Wilson's only signed for 1 year, Jameis Winston only for 2 years. So if they don't re-sign Russell Wilson at the end of next year, it would be down to Jameis Winston and Sanders. Sanders could start. Winston could back up. I don't think that's a bad plan.
It's not that it's ill-advised, and you could kind of see the future and the writing on the wall like you just laid out, but you don't want to be picking third overall. And if you are picking third overall, that is supposed to be a spot where you can get, quote-unquote, a gold jacket guy, right? That's what they thought about Saquon Barkley. And Saquon Barkley would be in the Hall of Fame. He might be in there as an Eagle. That's what the narrative is. If you're picking that high, like Mike Tomlin always would talk about, I think Mike Tomlin was looking at was it Chase Young? And he was like, yeah, I would love to have a guy like you, but we never lose enough games to pick, you know, these guys at the top of the draft. If you're picking this high in the draft, you cannot mess up on that pick. Dable, like, said it this week. He didn't finish the sentence, but he talked about you're picking a quarterback. If you get that wrong, he didn't finish the sentence because he didn't want to put that on himself. But, like, if you get that wrong, you're fired. You're done, and you don't get another opportunity to be a GM in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think it was Gettleman who said if you pick the wrong quarterback up high in the first round, you could set your team back for 5 years.
Yes. Look at the Jets right now, which that's a perfect segue. Thanks for the call, Jeff. 888-808-1019. You're supposed to tank for Trevor. You screw that up. And then you reach and draft Zach Wilson. And he is not it coming out of a COVID season at BYU. And then you got to go after Aaron Rodgers. Is the song that doesn't end. How quickly these 2 years have gone by. Aaron Rodgers was on Pat McAfee. He spoke about what happened weeks ago at One Jets Drive. Let's play, in case you didn't hear it, or even if you did hear it, just to refresh the words and be mindful. Aaron Rodgers uses Jedi mind tricks, but his Jedi mind tricks do not work on me. Fleegs, play a clip. I'll react to it. Play a clip. I'll react to it, and then we'll take a break.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
That was an interesting 2 years, to say the least. But, you know, I figured that when I flew across country on my own dime, that there was going to be a conversation. And the confusing thing to me, and the strange thing, was, you know, when I went out there, I meet with the coach. We start talking. He runs out of the room. I'm like, that's kind of strange.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers has his own jet. Jermaine Johnson told you about that. To gas up that jet is probably, I don't know, $30,000. So when he says on his own dime, like it's more than a dime, and it's not a Spirit Airlines trip. But then, you know, Jets fans, I saw the kid NYY or NYJ Matt put out the screenshot of Aaron Rodgers tweeting years ago in 2013, meeting in person greater than phone call, right? And man to man, you should be meeting in person. So like they had to do that. But then I thought it was interesting that he said he's talking to the coach, Aaron Glenn, right? They're meeting for the first time. And Aaron Glenn runs out of the room. Immediately in my mind, I'm thinking of like good cop, bad cop. I'm thinking of like an interrogation room where like, you know, the bad cop is there and he's talking to you and then he leaves and the good cop comes in. Like, hey, man, just cooperate with us. Let's play the rest of this clip and I'll react again.
Then he comes back with the GM. And I'm like, all right. So we sit down in the office. And I think we're going to have this long conversation. I've flown across the country. And 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something, and he leans to the edge of his seat and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested.
Bad cop.
And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback. And I said, and I was kind of shocked. Now, not shocked because I didn't think that was a possibility. Listen, of course, they want to move on. That's totally fine. But shocked because I just flew across country. You could have told me this on the phone.
Okay. So if it's 20 seconds into a conversation, they didn't really go through anything. There were no checks and balances. There were no pros and cons. There was no conversation. Their mind was already made up, but they just wanted to tell Aaron Rodgers in person. That leads you to believe what? Now, I said this, and I try to somewhat take up for Woody Johnson. I said that when Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji said that they were going to watch every single play from the Jets season, the eye in the sky don't lie. There's enough film to watch that makes your determination that you don't want to run it back with 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. But I do have a sneaky suspicion here, especially what we learned about Woody Johnson, who wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers after the Denver Broncos lost 10-9 in rainy MetLife. I have a sneaky suspicion here that these guys talked, thought about this, and this was all part of a plan of attack. You don't bring a Hall of Fame quarterback here who fans love and players definitely love, and people inside that building had a relationship. You don't have him fly all the way back to have a short conversation with him. And so I do understand Aaron Rodgers having an issue with gassing his flight up, paying for that flight across country for a conversation that could have happened over the phone, but they weren't going to do it over the phone. I felt like this was an ambush. I felt like this was tactical. I felt like this was strategic by the Jets. Let's continue on with the quotes from Rodgers.
If we weren't even going to have a conversation, and this is verbatim exactly how it happened. So I said, huh? And he goes, we just want to know how you want it released, the messaging. And I said, verbatim, I don't give a shit about the message. And I said, why? And then he said, I don't want to be up in front of the room saying something and have guys looking back at you.
Interesting.
And I said, what does that even mean? Are you assuming that I would be in the back of the room during a team meeting undermining what you're saying?
Yeah, so like I don't get that. Did you already have your mind made up about Aaron Rodgers? Did you talk to Rob Saleh or something? Did you talk to player? Like, how does that even come out of your mouth, or even Aaron Rodgers relaying that? I don't think he would make that up. I think there's some insecurity there from Aaron Glenn, because one, the quarterback should be in the front of the room. A lot of times you see the quarterbacks in the front of the meeting rooms. Quarterbacks aren't hiding in the back. A lot of times they have to speak or whatever. But like, I feel like there's some insecurity here. This is ego. This is my ego versus your ego. I'm the man now. You're not the man now, right? And for him to voice to Aaron Rodgers that, like, why would you think Aaron Rodgers would be doing that? Maybe Aaron Rodgers wants to buy in. Maybe he wants to be here. Maybe he does want to play football. I thought that was super weird. Did you get that from Rob Saleh? Did Rob Saleh say he was doing that? I don't want to be up in front of the team and guys looking at you. That's a power struggle there. And I think that was decided before Aaron Rodgers got there. Like, hey, I said this. Aaron Glenn, this is his team, his regime. He wants to be the top dog. He wants to be the guy that everybody goes. Continue to play it before we break here.
I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly. Which is why I flew across the country to have a face-to-face meeting with you to talk about my experience with the Jets and to hear your vision for the team. 20 seconds in. What I thought was going to be a couple-hour meeting turned into like a 15-minute meeting. And I walked out of there. But
So
this was all an ambush. This was planned. This was a setup. This was good cop, bad cop. They had their mind made up that they were going to move on from Aaron Rodgers for X amount of reasons. I think I could go back to my notes and I had all of these things from how he played to the new. Honestly, Aaron Glenn should have had a much nicer approach. You got the job because of how they failed in these last couple years with Aaron Rodgers. You should be thanking the guy. And what I have to say to Aaron Glenn, and like I do believe in Aaron Glenn coming over from the Lions, but like, damn, bro, for you to be such a hard ass, the Lions failed these last few years. They failed against the Niners. They should have been going to the Super Bowl. Then they had a better season and had an opportunity at home, and that defense was not ready for Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. So why are you so boisterous? Why are you so big? Why are you acting like you've done something already in that building? Aaron Rodgers has done more than you've done in the building. That rubbed me the wrong way, and the last thing I'll say about it before we break and take calls on it is they better win. They better win this year, and Justin Fields better work. That is the only thing that's going to matter. Because Aaron Glenn's personality of a no-nonsense guy and I'm going to be there, that only works if it turns into wins. If you lose and now you think there aren't players in there that know Aaron Rodgers more than they know you and feel some type of way and listen to what... This was all strategic by Rodgers. Now it comes out on Pat McAfee. This doesn't help their case. And I guarantee you when the draft is coming up. They're focused on the draft, and I guarantee you Muji and Glenn, they won't address it because it's in the past. They don't need to talk about Aaron Rodgers. They're just going to duck it. And I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end, so this is not the end. Aaron Rodgers might retire. Aaron Rodgers might be a Steeler. Who knows? Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. I've got about 23 minutes left of this show. Call now. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. I'll be right back.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Never trust a big bun to smile. Poison.
You young boys don't know about that one right there. You young boys don't know. All right, let's get back into it. 888-808-1019. Pat is in Myrtle Beach on The Fan. We're talking about the J-E-T-S. Jets.
Hey, Keith. Great show. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I agree with most of what you said, except I don't even know if you can call good cop bad cop. It's more like Keystone Cops. Like, they just can't get out of their own way.
I think, yeah.
And
I don't know. I could imagine Aaron Glenn running out and being like, "Mooj, now you come in." And like, already? It's only been 20 seconds.
And it has Woody Johnson's paw prints all over it, even if he wasn't involved. You know, they took his private plane to go convince him with Sala and Joe Douglas. If I was Aaron Glenn, I would have said, "Woody, when we make a decision, can we fire up the private plane and all go tell him which way we're going?" It's like kind of like in high school when, you know, you treat the girl so great when you're courting her, but then you don't even have the respect to break up with her to her face, you know? I mean, I know they did it in person, but you get what I'm saying. And to your point about their reputation with the players, I mean, they've already get the lowest marks in the, you know, NFLPA reviews. It's like, yeah, that's going to stay in the tank. I mean, you can't treat people like that in any walk of life.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot more that Aaron Rodgers said that I listened to. He named a lot of people in the building, from the training staff, the medical staff, people that do equipment in the building. Like, he went out of his way to show the human element of himself as far as, like,
being a regular person and a dude in that building, and they didn't treat him like that at all. They treated him as like, you're an a-hole. They treated him like you're a problem. You're a locker room cancer, and we're getting this up out of here right now. First things first.
So can I ask you one thing?
Mm-hmm.
He said he was interested in playing football. If you had to list like his top two motivations to play football, do you agree that one would be win another Super Bowl, and two, a strong two would be make the Jets look like idiots for cutting ties with me?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's motivation in the NFL is to win a Super Bowl, but I think his two are both tied to the Jets. One, not to go out with that last season that he played for the Jets, and two, to stick it to the Jets and be like, you went with Justin Fields, and like, how funny would it be if he joins
the Steelers.
The Steelers, who had Justin Fields last year, benched him, who wanted Justin Fields potentially to come back. If he does actually sign with the Steelers, and I believe they play each other next year, the Steelers are going to be better than the Jets. I can guarantee you the Steelers will be better than the Jets just off of their culture and their roster and their coaching alone. They will be better than the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, and that's part of the NFL script. The NFL script writers,
One more thing. The only reason I think he hasn't signed with the Steelers is he was slow walking the Vikings, because I think his preference, if there wasn't any of the Jet stuff, would be to play for Kevin O'Connell in that offense. I'm from Pittsburgh originally, versus Arthur Smith in like a run-heavy offense. But I think this Jet thing tips it to... I mean, Mike Tomlin's just sitting back saying, hey, Aaron, I'm good with Mason Rudolph. You know, you decide you want to play, show up in August. We'll make it work.
Yeah, I also think he'd much rather throw the ball to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison indoors in Minnesota in that football palace when it gets cold in the late weeks of the season. That place is temperature regulated. When he's taking hits, it doesn't hurt as much as it does outside in the cold. Like the Vikings.
It's the division he knows.
He could stick it to the Packers. Yeah.
And there's no part of him that fears walking down the same path as Favre. I've heard that before.
No,
like, he doesn't care about that.
No, he doesn't. He's had enough ayahuasca that he's very much aware of who he is and secure with who he is, and it has nothing to do with Brett Favre. Brett Favre has a Netflix doc coming out, not about him going to do ayahuasca and getting in touch with himself. It's going to reveal all the trouble and things that he's gotten into and what old man Brett Favre is. And Aaron Rodgers most likely is not going to head down that type of path of like stealing money and having allegations and stuff. So, yeah, no, him going to the Vikings, he's not worried about, you know, completing the full circle of what Brett Favre did. No.
No, but I agree with you. I think the Steelers is coming to fruition. And the one other thing I wanted to say, I heard the caller that compared or wanted to get your thoughts on Shador versus Eli Manning. I was looking at the combine reports for some of the guys from this year, and I just happened to stumble upon the Giants when they inducted Eli into the Ring of Honor. They published Ernie Accorsi's scouting report from when he saw him at Ole Miss. Go read it, and there is no chance. I think that Shane and Dable are praying that the Browns take Shador Sanders so that it's not on their plate, because Ernie Accorsi literally said, if he comes out early, so this is his junior year, that if he comes out early, we should trade up to take him. I think he's got a chance to be better than his brother. And no matter how positive they feel about Shador, I don't think he's in the same category of that kind of praise. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you. Thanks again.
You got it. Great call, Pat. I was listening. I think I was listening to maybe it was Evan and Tiki, and they were asking where, maybe it was BT and Sal, I don't know. I'm in and out during the day, but someone was asking, where would Shador have been without his dad coming into play to coach? Shador Sanders was supposed to go to Florida Atlantic, and when he was getting recruited in high school, he was getting recruited by bigger schools and Power 5 conferences, but I think he was supposed to go to Florida Atlantic. And then his dad, Deion Sanders, who was coaching him in high school, stepped up and was able to attract the attention of Jackson State and HBCU, that was just losing, like, you know, that's where Walter Payton went to school, and they just were not successful, and they needed an injection of something and anything. And so Deion goes there, and obviously with the brand and name that Deion had and his son coming up and his son's connections, he had a friendship online with Travis Hunter. And Travis Hunter was supposed to go to Alabama. And Travis Hunter flipped his commitment and put that Jackson State JSU hat on. And people were like, what the hell? Well, he goes to Jackson State with Shador a couple years. And then they transfer to a similar school, Colorado, who was 1-11 in the dumps, not winning, getting just ran over by their conference, needed a boost. They didn't even have the money to pay Deion Sanders, but they knew they would make the money. And the primetime stimulus package that hit Boulder, Colorado, they're still making millions off of. And they're going to, you know, with these guys going to the NFL and they're retiring their numbers or whatever, but Shador goes there. And I'll say this about him. I like the intangibles. What scares me is, like, he's not a Jaden Daniels. He's not a Caleb Williams. He's not a CJ Stroud. I think he's going to need some seasoning. I think he's going to need some time to develop. I think he has the arm strength, but I just think up here mentally, you know, just even having to overcome being Deion's kid and all the pressure and the hype there. And, you know, he took a lot of media scrutiny coming up. I mean, even in Colorado, there were people writing negative things about him. And he overcame all of that, and he found a way to win and succeed. And I think he's going to succeed in the NFL. I don't know if it's going to be with the Giants. And then going back to, you know, some of the last things with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was talking about, like, he's got things going on. He talked about he's in a serious relationship right now. He's dealing with personal matters in his inner circle. I don't know, maybe, who knows? There could be health problems in his family or friends, and, like, that's why he's slow playing this whole thing. He's saying it doesn't have anything to do with the draft, but of course it does. I mean, I put a theory out months ago that Aaron Rodgers just sits at home for a while because he's old, because he took a lot of hits. He sits and waits until whatever team it is that's a contender loses their starting quarterback, and then he comes off the couch like Joe Flacco did for the Browns a couple years back. I think that would be the better route. Instead of going through training camp and all these weeks, why not come in and save the day week 8? Stay tuned for that. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is done. I don't think he's hanging it up. I don't think he's retiring. He damn sure is not trying to go out with the way that the season ended for him with the Jets and basically having the Jets hoe him around. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going. This is a Hall of Famer. This is a guy who's got a chip on his shoulder. And now he just told the world, I flew across the country to meet with the Jets and they ambushed me and it was a quick meeting. He even said something along the lines that he told his pilots, like, hey, this is going to be a while. We might be eating dinner here. Like, that type of stuff motivates an Aaron Rodgers. He wants to play. He wants to get back on the field at least for one more year, show that he still has it. And if he gets a chance to do it with the Steelers against the Jets, stick it to the Jets. He did talk about meeting with the Giants, and I think the Giants dodged one here. And I know there was a couple weeks on The Fan where some of the hosts were hot and heavy over the prospect of Aaron Rodgers. But I think the Giants dodged one here. And we'll see. Coming up next Thursday, the NFL draft. In that first round, wouldn't it be masterful if Joe Shane can get Abdul Carter at 3 and then trade back into the first round with the 34th pick, get either Shador or the Ole Miss quarterback, Jackson Dart. I think Giants fans would be satisfied with that. Okay, we still got the, you know, the best defensive player on the board, the generational talent, the pass rusher. You got to be able to rush Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Jaden Daniels. But then we do get a quarterback of the future if Shador does slip, which some people think he's going to slip. I don't think he's going to slip that far. 888-808-1019. I'm running out of time. I got 5 minutes left. If you'd like to get the last word in, and before we go back to the phone, I have a Yankees call. You know, now Shador is projected to go number 9 because of Derek Carr's situation with the Saints. And I very well think that that could happen. So, like, if the Giants aren't punching that ticket for Shador Sanders at 3, what would they have to give up to come back into the first round and try and get Jackson Dart? Tankathon has them getting Jackson Dart with the 34th overall pick. Okay, last 4 or 5 minutes of the show to the Bronx. We go. Jay, you got it. You're in there. Talk to us.
Blue.
What's up, Jay?
All right, yeah, I got a few points real quick. This is my second night in a row calling for the first time into WFAN.
Appreciate it.
I'm a dog and Francesa guy. You know, I'm a young 50-year-old, but I go back 30 years so with WFAN. So, you had an effect on me sports-wise. I want to say Ben Rice, we don't got to worry about nothing. He is the future first baseman. You know, he's our first baseman for the next 10 to 15 years. As far as him getting at bats and standing and trying to maneuver all of that, the bottom line is the guy is our future first baseman for the long haul, in my humble opinion. Also, I think it's a great comparison between Shador Sanders and Eli Manning by the guy that made that call. That's a great comparison. Eli Manning may be, you know, a couple of inches taller, a little bit thicker maybe, but as far as their game and fundamentals and footwork and arm strength and being able to ad lib on a play with not great athleticism, clutch. I mean, just think about it. Eli even threw up the greatest play in Eli's career is throwing it up to David Tyree, you know, just mm-hmm. the way Shador Sanders was pretty much throwing.
Shador had a throw in the end zone, I think, against Baylor, where he had to avoid a rush and throw it there. It was a prayer, and it worked. It was answered.
Exactly. And then just a couple more points. Aaron Glenn, you know, he's fashioning himself the next Mike Tomlin. You know, he wanted to look Aaron Rodgers. He wants it to be known moving forward when everybody look back on however it ends, how it began is I looked Aaron Rodgers in his face, man to man, and I told him I'm moving forward with my organization without him, you know, and
I'm the captain now. I'm the man around here. You don't run things like you ran with the last regime. This is my regime now.
Right. And the last thing, K-Mac, before I let you go, you and Heyman, you know, I'm going to put it out there on the greatest sports radio airwaves in the world. You know, maybe D-Roll, Mark DeRosa and Harold Reynolds, maybe, you know, could put something together where maybe you and Heyman, it would be must-see TV, you know, to have like maybe a debate series type podcast or, you know, even, you know, just something that almost like the way Skip Bayless and Stephen A, you know, started off, you know, back in the days and became multimillionaires. I have a funny feeling. I got a sneaky suspicion that if Harold Reynolds and Mark DeRosa, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, I love watching, you know, the MLB channel when they're on, if they can somehow get involved, you know, with your history with the MLB network and the fan cave and everything and put something together, you know, and bring you guys together. Maybe Heyman could, you know, find it in his heart to bury the hatchet and you guys do like a podcast and, you know, from the two different spectrums.
I put it out there on the radio, bro. I was like, did you hear my story that I ran into the Heyman at spring training in the media area and he ducked me?
I followed. I know the whole. That's why I'm putting.
So
this
and like
on
I could text Harold Reynolds because I was on that show in 2022. I'm connected. I've seen John Heyman in MLB Network. You know, 40 exactly. Hearts Way in Sea Caucus. He doesn't want anything to do with me, and I'm on that same type of time with him. Thank you for the call, Jay. Like I'm not. I don't want to do a podcast with John Heyman. I don't want to be connected to John Heyman. You know what I'm saying? Like I tried to patch it up with him when I saw him. I tried to flag him down. Hey, John, like you want? Nah, he doesn't want anything to do with me. He's above me. He's 30 years older than me. You know, the sooner that I have nothing to do with John Heyman, the better. Like I said, once I saw him and the way he ducked me like I was a high school bully, I'm like, bruh, it's not that big. Anyway, I'm out of here. Al's coming up next. Thanks for listening to another KM to AM. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.